Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2020. The world's kind of crazy right now. We have rioting going on and protesting going on. And I just wanted to come out and, prefacing this episode, say that this episode's a little hard at this point. It's easy to listen to it and just kind of be like, oh, more people being harsh to each other. So the beginning part was hard for me to take, but the episode itself is so well done again. Kathleen Height, probably the only writer in radio who at this point could pull this script off with any credibility. This is a time in television when they barely would let Lucy even be pregnant. And on this episode, we hear a woman who's obviously in labor. It's just ahead of its time. This is 1956, and this would not be on television at this time, I can tell you that. And just listen to the episode, even the first bits of dialogue, they sound like a 1967 or a 1973 episode of Gunsmoke versus a 1956 episode of Fort Laramie. So she was just writing so far ahead of her time frame. But anyway, let's go on to the episode and just have you enjoy that. I love the way she writes for all the characters, though they're all male characters, all these male characters. And she features them all in this episode at some point, which I think is amazing. She humanizes all of them. She, at a point in this episode, underscores again what makes Quince be Quince, and the fact that he's gruff with someone. Siebert's he's pretty gruff with, and then he's like, I've already forgot about it. And it sounds like something, a dialogue that you would have in some modern cop show or something, not something from 1956, as I say. And then with this episode, I think she's decided that she's focused enough on the cast and showing that she could write for this cast, that she feels the freedom that she's starting to write definitely more female parts, and really pushes the envelope on the female parts that she gives to these wonderful actresses to portray. Virginia Gregg, just an excellent radio actress and just such a blessing to so many performances, including this one. So I just hope you enjoy this episode of Fort Laramie, and we'll see you next time.
At the gallop!
Starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
I never seen the sense of it. Scrubbing day after day, putting clean clothes on the dirty army.
It's a way to earn a keep.
Every woman marries a man earns a keep. Night and day, it's all earning.
Not today, yes. Don't start on that talk again today.
Now, I plumb forgot about your delicate condition, Stella Merchant. I need be minding my manners more. It's just I ain't used to running into royalty on Soapsuds Row. Honest, I ain't.
I didn't mean to start you off, S. I'm sorry.
Sorry, are you? Well, you're sorry looking, I'll say that for you. Another day or two and you won't be able to stand in the same room with your washboard.
All right, S. All right.
It's a wash tub now, you are.
Couldn't you just be quiet? Think what you will, but keep it to yourself.
Enjoying yourself, ladies? Having a fine social hour, are you?
Oh, Fanny, it's her. Look at her. Can you tell by looking she's a regular queen?
I'm doing the best I can. If you'd let me be. If you wouldn't go at me so much.
Now, you listen to me, Stella Merchant. And hear what I say.
Fanny, don't. Don't shake me.
I'll do what need be. You're not earning your pay. Now you get some elbow grease behind that scrubbing or I'll send you packing. With no pay for the month.
You wouldn't do that, Fanny. We need the money. With the baby coming, we need every cent, Fanny.
Then earn it. Scrub. That's the way you get money around here.
Please, Fanny. Please. Don't.
She's going white, Fanny.
Nah. Ninny.
If I could just get some air. Just a little air.
Well, now. A little air.
That's what she'll have, Fanny. Right before our eyes, you don't get her out of here.
All right, Stella, grab a hold one side this clothes basket. You'll get all the air you need hanging clothes outside. I said grab a hold.
All right. Not quite so fast, Fanny.
Yeah, you're moving like coal molasses now. Carry your weight, Stella. Pity they ain't some nice shade trees for you. Maybe a hammock. Ain't you the shape for a hammock, though?
Oh, maybe I shouldn't try. I thought I could work right up to the very day the baby came. Other women do.
You ain't other women.
You've no cause to talk to me like you do, Fanny. You and S. I never give you cause.
You never give me nothing but an awful bellyache. Combing and bathing and making pretty for the men.
For my man, Fanny.
That's it, is it? You're so full of lying sweet talk you believe yourself.
I thought we could all be friends. Out here, so far from home, all of us. I thought we could help each other.
You're long on help, ain't you? Everybody help. Everybody be happy. Well, you be happy, Stella. Like you're so willing to tell anything to be near Billy. Happy to earn your keep washing filth. Happy to bear his young'un. Happy, happy, happy.
I love Billy, Fanny.
Love? Ha!
You don't understand. You really don't understand. I never realized that till now.
It's the young as don't understand.
Did you never love Luke? Even then? When you were young? Did you never love him, Fanny?
Hang the clothes.
It would be awful if you didn't love.
You'll get no pay for John and taking the air like you are. You keep saying you need the money, we'll earn it.
I will, Fanny. I will earn it. And glad to.
And see you keep that glad stuff to yourself. You and your love and the life you feel kicking in you. I've buried more young'uns than you'll ever have.
Oh, I'm sorry. Truly sorry, Fanny.
Don't you never be sorry for me.
Please.
follow the Laramie all the way till it cut through the range there. We left it and went cross-country west and north to a point about here.
It's almost to Medicine Bow River.
I think their main camp's on the Medicine Bow.
But you ran into other camps along the way?
Mm-hmm. Old camps, Major.
Yeah, the information you got from the settlers in the area would point to that. No Cheyenne in their vicinity since last fall. Isn't that the word?
And no army patrols since last fall.
That follows?
To me it does. The settlers have spent the winter in peace since the Cheyenne ran off their horses last fall. The cavalry sends out one small patrol in the late spring, and the Cheyenne mysteriously reappear.
But not in numbers.
All right. Cheyenne scouts, 8 of them.
You could have killed them at any time you were following them.
Yeah, just about. Only they were leading us, Major. There's a difference.
Only because you were willing to be led.
It was our business, reconnaissance. You don't kill 8 scouts who are leading you into a trap.
Of course you don't, if you're sure it's a trap.
Look, for 2 days, if we didn't keep pace with them, they waited for us. Morning of the 3rd day, they cut off into a canyon that leads straight to the Medicine Bow like we were leading a charge behind them. I know an ambush when I see one.
And you don't ride into them with 10 men behind you.
I don't ride into them with a company behind me.
All right, Captain.
I'm sorry, Major. We rode all night.
You rode all night for 3 nights. I know that, Lee. I want you to get some rest.
I'd like to finish my report, sir.
It can wait till morning.
I don't think so.
All right, Lee. Let's get it all said. I don't like it this way, but one of us has to get a good night's sleep.
I'll sleep fine, Major.
I will, too, once this is over. Now, from your report, you seem convinced the Cheyenne have their main camp on the Medicine Bow. And I get the impression you think they're getting restless.
They'll have to move somewhere. That country had about 1 winter's good hunting left in it. They've had that.
If they haven't raided since fall, you're right. We could stop them before they start.
They'll move north, maybe as far north as the Montana Territory.
Why not south?
Other tribes, Utes, Apaches. The Cheyenne would rather face the white man.
I know.
You know, you're bleeding me pretty dry, Major.
How's that?
I got a feeling I'm mapping a campaign I'm not going to be part of.
You just finished the toughest part of a campaign. A lot of men can lead a charge who can't do successful reconnaissance.
Major, I'm...
Captain. You're assigned to quarters till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Who's going to replace me, Major?
I am.
I'd be a fool to question that choice.
Yes, you would. That's all, Captain. Dismissed.
Yes, sir. Oh, Major, who's going to replace you?
Me?
Yeah, here, as post commander.
You are. Any questions?
No, sir. No questions.
You can't see by that light, Stella.
I'm fine enough for this little bit of hand stitching, Billy.
Well, best you rest yourself a while. Come on, sit in the doorway with me.
In a while, honey.
Oh, it's a fine night, Stella. Slice of moon. Nice bit of breeze off the sweet clover.
I can smell it from here. It's like home, ain't it, Billy?
Well, it is home, Stella. Only one we ever had together. You ever think of it? Maybe some engine in his car setting like we are tonight. Looking out at the stars. Talking about the papoose they're going to have in no time at all.
Billy Merchant, how you think of things like that?
They come to me. Well, don't they come to you?
You know they do. It's part of what we have together, you and me. But that's not a man thought, is it?
Now you sound like Luke and Joe. Sweet Billy, they call me. It's just because I notice the sky... Flower.
Don't you mind them, Billy.
No, I don't.
I don't mind them.
Like you don't mind fanning. Yes.
Why you say it that way?
Because that's the way it is, Stella. Feeling folks like us, we feel too much sometimes. We let folks get to us, rub us wrong, maybe. Maybe hurt us some.
I love you.
Sure. I said we were feeling folks.
Oh, Billy. Billy.
When you gonna have that baby, still?
Soon, honey. As soon as I can.
It's a hard time for you. I know that.
Not too hard, Billy.
You're fretting some. You got some pain?
No, not real pain. Like a catch, you know. Not often enough to matter.
No, it wouldn't be right to lie to me, honey.
I don't lie to you. Ever.
Just sometimes you don't tell me all the truth, ain't that it?
You're feeling folks, too. You ought to know good as me.
Yeah. Yeah, I ought to.
You're fretting some, Billy Merchant. That's who's fretting around here.
A man's going to be a father has all the rights. You know, they do say some men take on worse than women folk. You know that, Stella? Swimmy-headed morning times like that?
That ain't what's troubling you.
No. No, it ain't. No, it sure ain't. How many times I asked you to give up your work at the laundry?
You mean how many times today you asked me?
Yeah, and always you tell me it's what you gotta do, no matter what.
It is, Billy.
It's the same with me, Stella. I got my work to do, no matter what.
Now then, I ain't asked you to give up being a trooper. I declare, I don't know what B Company'd do without you.
I ain't drawed nothing but garrison duty for more than a month now. I just ain't gonna last.
Billy?
On stable detail today. We were sure ready in those mounts for something more than a parade ground, Stella.
You got orders to move out?
No, ma'am. No, but Captain Quince's patrol come back on the post today. And when reconnaissance comes back, well, we just gotta be moving out.
Be nice if you's wrong, Billy.
We gotta face up to it, Stella. You might just gotta have that baby without me.
I sure never planned that way.
If it had to be, would you want to try to make it back home?
To my ma?
Sure.
Why, Billy Merchant, that'd take every cent we own and then some.
I ain't thinking of that.
Well, then you think about it right now. Only don't take the bother. If they was money, they ain't time.
Stella, I want to be with you more than anything I could name. But I can't ask the favor of a leave. You understand that?
You got your work to do, Billy. No matter what.
Come in.
Captain Quince, sir.
Sergeant?
I must have took a wrong turn, sir. I was told to report to the office of the post commander.
Close the door, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Now, sit down, Gorse. And, Gorse, any time you want to get rid of that stupid grin, you can.
Yes, sir. Well, you look powerful big behind that desk.
Yeah, too big for the desk. Maybe too small for the job.
You'll do what you gotta do, Captain.
I was thinking more that we'd do what I gotta do, Gorse.
You was?
Major Daggett tells me that Sergeant Pearson takes a big load off him sitting at that desk outside.
Well, he ain't sitting out there now.
He's getting his equipment together, fixing to move out with Major Daggett after Reveille tomorrow morning.
Captain Quince.
He'll need a good briefing, Sergeant Pearson will.
Well, I'd like to volunteer to...
Good. That saves me an order, Sergeant.
To go with B Company as a special scout.
And when you've finished briefing him, he can fill you in on the details of his desk job.
One of us ain't listening, Captain.
It's a side of the Army we don't know much about, Gorse. Time we did.
You being in charge and all, you think you could arrange a quick transfer for us, maybe the infantry?
Better find Sergeant Pearson. Tell him all you know.
Yes, sir. Now, that'd be my job, wouldn't it?
Till we get swinging doors, guess it is.
Lieutenant Seibert, sir.
Sergeant. Captain Quinn, sir.
Oh, come in, Mr. Seibert. Your duty begins in an hour, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. With the captain's permission, I'd like to offer congratulations, sir.
You came here for a briefing, Mr. Seibert.
I understand that.
Sit down.
Yes, sir.
You familiar with the Horseshoe Creek area?
Oh, yes, sir. That map you're using...
The map's wrong.
Well, I drew that map, Captain.
Then you're wrong. Horseshoe Creek does not feed from the Medicine Bow River.
No, sir. From the Little Medicine Bow.
Not by 20 miles, Mr. Seibert. 20 miles of twisting canyon through the Laramie Range. That's this line here. Now, Horseshoe Creek is east of the range. Medicine Bow and the Little Medicine Bow are to the west. They do not join.
Well, they must have once, sir. It's like a riverbed all through the floor of that canyon.
They didn't join last fall when you drew this map.
You mean the waters didn't join, the riverbeds did.
Mr. Seibert's a cavalry company moves with water. Water points a course of travel, a campsite.
I know that, sir.
Do you?
Captain Quince, that's the first country I ever charted, the first map I ever drew.
Well?
It's not an excuse, sir.
Sounds like one, Mr. Seibert's.
What I mean, seeing it was my first real attempt and all, I never thought that we'd be using that map to campaign by.
We're not.
That's good.
You bet it's good, Mr. Seibert. It's good and lucky. I pulled this map out of the Major's files last night to study it. I spent the rest of the night drawing up a proper map. Here, Mr. Seibert. You tear it up.
Thank you, Captain.
Don't thank me. Remember it. Remember it good. And then forget it.
Captain Quinn.
I've already forgotten it, Mr. Seibert.
Can't see him now, Merchant. Whatever it is, it's got to wait.
Babies don't wait, Sergeant.
Trouble here, men?
No trouble, Captain.
Captain Quinn, sir, I'd like
That's enough, Trooper.
Company B's Foreman 4's in the parade ground, Merchant.
Yes, sir, Captain. But what I'd
no
like to...
No buts about it.
Captain Quinn, I respectfully request permission for an in... Can't I please get a hearing from you, sir?
Captain, don't conduct no hearings this time of day, Trooper.
It's all right, Gorse. Let's have it, Merchant. And quick.
Obliged, sir. Any time now, any little minute, I'm going to have a baby, Captain.
Well...
Sergeant, my respects to Major Daggett. Tell him Trooper Merchant will be on the parade ground in 2 minutes.
Yes, sir.
I met my wife, Captain. Stella. She's having the baby.
I'm glad to hear that, Merchant.
Now, seeing it's her first, sir, and her being alone, I mean no kinfolk nearby to help or lend a hand.
I hope you're not asking me for leave, Trooper.
No. No, no, sir. I mean to move out with the company.
You'll move out with the company. You'll have nothing on your mind but the Cheyenne.
I know what you mean, sir.
Then all we gotta settle is what you mean, Merchant.
Well, sir, it pleased me to tell Stella that the post surgeon was on hand to tend after her. And the baby, too, when it comes. Well, that eased her some, sir.
Well?
It'd ease me some if you was pleased to tell me I was telling Stella all the truth.
The post-surgeon's leaving with B Company, Merchant.
I see, sir.
Your wife in your quarters now?
No, sir. No, she's working in the laundry.
Well, we're holding things up, Merchant.
Yes, sir. And thanks for hearing me out.
Merchant, you know that I... Merchant, women have babies every day.
Yes, sir. I'll sure try to look on it that way, sir.
Good luck, Trooper.
Look at that, Luke. Never was a man so glad to leave his woman.
There's one is glad, right next to him. Joe, beaming and smirking. Grates on my nerves sometimes seeing that brother face engine arrows in us.
Well, I ain't grieving none myself. Luke's been home a month.
A good month.
Good and long, that's a fact. I know what you're thinking, Ass.
Oh, you sure?
You'll be to yourself. All to yourself.
That's pure blessing. You know it is, Fanny.
Oh, they haven't gone yet. I was most afraid they'd be gone.
Well, now, look who's managing a brave little smile.
She don't know enough to laugh, as hair no mind.
I don't see Billy. Could you just point out Billy to me?
Use your young eyes. No matter, you don't see him. He couldn't stand a chance of missing you, popping clean into the parade grounds the way you are.
Could be your sweet Billy's in trouble. He was late for formation. And he come out of headquarters with Captain Quince himself.
You can't fret me, Fanny. Say what you will, the two of you, you can't fret me. There ain't nobody can fret me no more.
There they go.
Only stirring sight they is, bands a-playing, flags a-flying,
men leaving.
Would you, if you see him, point out Billy to me? I declare I can't see him yet.
Well, you're not likely to yet. Them's officers up front. Major Daggett and that Lieutenant Seibert.
Who's that other one riding atwixt them?
Well, I declare that's Major Trox. Now, you don't see him riding off every day.
Wonder who's sending the hospital with him a-going.
Who's Major Trox?
You mean you don't know the post surgeon when you see him?
Post surgeon, Lee?
Well, you didn't think he'd stay here to look after yours now, did you?
He must not have known. Billy wouldn't have said. If he'd known. Billy? Billy? Don't you worry none now. Billy? Not a worry.
Oh, come on, S, for this turns my stomach good.
I'll get the door for you, Captain.
You sure this is where she lives?
It's Merchant's, all right.
Turn the bed down, Gorse.
Yes, sir. It's a mite stuffy in here. I'll get that wounded.
And some water, Gorse. She's limp as a rag.
Yes, sir. Just like I found her, Captain. Keeled over in her tracks.
A little water on her face. Maybe it'll brighten her. She's breathing quiet enough.
Too quiet, Captain?
I don't think so.
Billy.
She thinks you're her husband, Captain.
Big mistake. Here, ma'am. You drink a little water. You come around.
I don't know. You?
No, ma'am.
You're in my quarters, and I don't know you.
No sense giving her a fright, Captain. I'll just go along.
You leave me, Gorse. I'll throw you right in the stockade.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Oh.
Now take her hands, Gorse.
Oh.
Take her hands?
Hold them.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I guess. You know, I'm going to have a baby.
I guess you're about as right as you can be, ma'am.
Oh.
Oh.
ahead, Captain.
Go ahead and what?
Hit it.
Hit it? It's a girl.
No matter. You're supposed to hit it one on its sit-down.
Yeah, that's right. It's the first right move we made.
Now, don't cry, little girl. Don't you cry. You'll wake your ma.
Don't worry, Gorse. I don't think her ma'd mind.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper, musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Jack Moyles and Harry Bartell, with Virginia Gregg, Dick Crenna, Helen Klebe, and Ann Morrison.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Sitting ducks are supposed to be targets for trouble. Your car is a sitting duck and yourself a target for trouble when you park carelessly. These days, problems of finding a parking place lead some drivers to attempt parking in spaces that are too small. They leave parts of the car exposed, jutting out into traffic lanes. As a result, another car swerving or coming around a corner can smack into the exposed front or rear end. Double parking, along with all the frustration it can cause, also increases the hazard of this kind of accident. Don't make your car a sitting duck in the way and asking for trouble.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. A transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. Well, what's your hurry, Chester?
Oh, hello, Mr. Dillon. I'm going over at the stable.
No, what for? Are you leaving town?
No, sir. Hank Young's over there. I got to see him.
Well, I'm not doing anything. I'll go with you if you don't mind.
Well, good. I run into Mr. Bowers, and he asked me to give Hank a message for him.
No.
Well, Hank is a real nice fellow, Mr. Dillon.
Well, I didn't say he wasn't, Chester.
Yes, sir, I know. But I was just thinking there ain't many fellows around here steady and peaceable as he is.
I guess that's one reason Bowers has kept him working at the ranch for so long.
Mm-hmm. There he is.
Where?
Cinching up his saddle with his back to us there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Dillon, I'm going to surprise him. Walk easy, huh?
No, Hank, no.
Look out, Chester!
Oh.
Now, take it easy, Hank.
Oh, Marshal. I didn't know who it was. You shouldn't come up on me like that, Chester.
Merciful goodness, I guess I shouldn't.
Now, where'd my gun... Oh, there's my gun. It's a wonder it didn't go off, you hitting at me that way, Marshal.
How come you're wearing a gun, Hank? I don't think I ever saw you with one.
I wore guns before, Marshal.
No, I meant around here.
No, maybe not around here.
Hank? Hank, Mr. Bowers is going to be an hour or so longer than he thought.
He is, huh?
Uh-huh.
All right, you tell him I'll see him out the ranch. We've got work to do out there. So long.
So long.
So long, Hank.
My, I guess I really upset him.
Something sure has.
Hank ain't never acted like that before. We are always kindly teasing each other.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it.
Dillon?
Yeah?
Yeah, I want to talk to you, Marshal.
Well, go ahead.
My name's Quillen. Ben Quillen. I've only been here a few days. I've been meaning to get acquainted, but I thought I'd do a little scouting around for myself first.
Oh?
What's the name of that man you was just talking to, Marshal?
Well, why?
Oh, he kind of fits the description of the fella I've been hunting. You see, I'm a deputy sheriff.
Oh?
There's my badge.
Deputy Sheriff, Prescott, Arizona.
Yeah, I got papers to prove it, too.
Hey, you've come a long way, Quillen.
I think it's going to be worth it, Marshal. Here, take a look at this.
What is it?
It's a warrant for Ike Abbott.
Prescott, Arizona, July 6, 18. Something. It's kind of smudge.
You read the description.
Hmm.
Don't Ike Abbott sound like your friend who just left? Sure does to me. Same height, same build. Same kind of face, brown hair and eyes. Just about everything.
Is that true, Mr. Dillon?
Oh, but fits generally, yeah.
But what's he wanted for?
It's a warrant for his arrest, Chester. He's charged with murder.
Hank?
We heard he was hiding out around Dodge somewhere. He's been here about 3 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, just about. Why didn't you make your arrest a few minutes ago, Quillen?
I wanted to be sure, Marshal. And I also want to talk to you first. After all, this is your territory.
Hank's wearing a gun, Quillen. Does he know you?
No. But I've been asking around about anybody from Arizona. He must have heard about it. Well, I guess I'll ride out and take him.
No.
What?
Hank Young's ready to fight. I don't want to kill him. I'll go.
You mean you'll bring him in for me?
Well, if I'm sure he's the man you're after, then I think I can find out.
Okay. Well, watch your step, Marshal. He's already killed one man.
Don't worry, Quillen. So have I.
Introducing one of the country's best-known jazz musicians and arrangers, Mr. Bobby Haggart. How about whistling along with him?
Packs more pleasure, packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Buy Chesterfield. Mild. Yet they satisfy the most.
Him sitting in the bunkhouse door, Mr. Dillon. I thought he said he had work to do.
He had nothing special to do except get out of Dodge.
You think he's gonna make trouble?
Well, I hope not. Hello, Hank.
Marshal. Chester.
Hello, Hank.
Looking for me?
There are a couple of things I want to ask you, Hank.
You go right ahead, Marshal.
You've known me about 3 years, right?
About that.
And you know, when I go after a man, I generally bring him back.
So you do, Marshal.
Is that why you put your gun away?
Well, I declare, he ain't armed no more, is he?
No, I ain't.
Well, you tell me the truth, Hank.
You always dealt fair, Marshal. I'll tell you the truth.
Well, there's a deputy sheriff in town named Ben Quillen. He's got an Arizona warrant for Ike Abbott's arrest.
I thought so.
Was it murder, Hank?
That how that warrant reads, Marshal?
Mm-hmm.
Figured so. What else you want to know?
You still haven't told me why you put your gun away.
Done some thinking on the way back here. Knowed they'd sent somebody after me, but if I killed him, I'd just have to face you next. I wouldn't be getting nowhere that way.
All right, Hank. Come on, Chester, let's get back to town.
Well, Mr. Dillon, ain't we going to take Hank back to the
garden? I said let's go, Chester. Morning, Chester.
Good morning, Mr. Dillon.
Ben Quillen been here yet?
Well, I just got here myself.
Oh, didn't you sleep here last night?
Well, see... No, sir, I didn't.
Oh?
I ain't never going to set up all night playing poker again.
Oh. I was kind of hoping you'd maybe outgrown poker.
I'm getting there.
Morning, Marshal. Chester.
Quillen.
Morning, Quillen.
Well, Marshal, did he put up a fight?
No, there was no trouble.
But he is the man I'm after. He's Ike Abbott, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the man.
Well, I sure do thank you, Marshal. Now, if you'll turn him over to me, we'll be on our way and I won't be bothering you no more.
I didn't bring him in, Quillen.
Why not?
Well, I guess maybe I didn't have the stomach to arrest a man who's been a friend. He was never caused any trouble around here.
That don't keep him from being a murderer. And I've got a legal warrant for him.
Then you go get him.
I thought you didn't want no killing.
He isn't armed.
You've caused me to waste a whole day, Marshal.
Why don't you go get your man, Quillen, and get him out of here? I don't want any part of it.
You admit he's a friend of yours, Marshal. I just hope you're not trying to trick me somehow. Because I'll hold you responsible.
What's on your mind tonight, Matt?
Well, Kitty, it sure isn't drinking beer and sitting around the Long Branch.
You know, you sometimes act like you've been schooled in a slave market.
Drink your beer, Kitty. I'm buying.
Oh, you are? And I take it all back. Oh.
What?
It's Ben Quillen. Now I know what's been bothering you.
Marshal, I want to talk to you.
Oh, what's your trouble, Quillen?
You gave me to believe there'd be no trouble with Hank Young or whatever you call him.
Was there?
He wasn't armed, Marshal. At least he didn't lie about that.
And just what did I lie about, Quillen?
About them four friends of his.
What friends?
I don't like being made a fool of, Marshal. I don't like going after an unarmed man who's hiding behind four shotguns.
Ah, I see.
You trying to tell me you didn't know about it?
No, Quillen, I didn't.
You swear to that?
Now, you can take it or leave it.
All right, I'll believe you. Providing you ride out there with me. I can't face them men alone. It'd be suicide.
It's your party, Quillen. I'm not getting paid to make your arrests.
You wouldn't be scared, would you, Marshal?
I think we've talked just about enough, Quillen.
All right. I'll telegraph Prescott. I'll get me some authority for some deputies.
Wait a minute, Quillen.
What?
You meet me at the stable in the morning. I'll go with you.
Here they are, Marshal, waiting for us. How are we going to shoot it out against four men with shotguns, Marshal?
You just keep out of it, Quillen. Hello, Hank. Gentlemen.
This here ain't my idea, Marshal. The boys just heard about everything. I can't talk them out of a fight.
That's right, Marshal. Ain't nobody taking a friend of ours off to Arizona. Warrant or no warrant.
Now listen, you men. Hank Young's a friend of mine, too. Isn't that right, Hank?
I always thought so, Marshal.
But you know me well enough. If any man needs taking in, I'll take him in.
Be kind of like walking into a cannon, won't it, Marshal?
Maybe. But more than one of us will die.
Now, hold on. I don't want a lot of blood spilled over me. Just because I killed a man 12 years ago is no reason any of you men should die now.
Wait a minute. Quillen.
What?
You got that warrant with you?
Of course I have.
Let me see it. Well, come on, let me see it.
Well, I don't know what for.
Give it to me.
You seen it once. What are you looking for? Well, is something wrong with it?
Nah, it's legal, all right.
And give it back.
Yeah. Hank, I've changed my mind about taking you today.
Now, wait,
Shut Marshal. Up, Quillen. Will you come into my office 3 days from now, Hank? We'll settle this thing then.
Okay, Marshal.
Sure, it's okay, Hank. We'll be right along with you. Won't we, boy?
You'll be right with you.
We ain't backing down one bit, Marshal. You better remember that.
Where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your favorite easy chair? Or out driving? Oh, there you are. In the kitchen. Say, you want to make whatever you're doing more enjoyable? Have a Chesterfield. Enjoy Chesterfield's better taste and mildness. It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips. Mild, yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Why Chesterfield? Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Let's go, Chester.
Did you finally get your telegraph?
Yeah. Just in time, it looks.
I know. That's quite a crowd waiting for you. Think there'll be trouble?
Yeah, there could be.
Anything you want me to do?
No. You better wait here.
All right. But you be careful now. Them friends of Hank's sure look like they mean business.
Yeah, sure.
Marshal, come in, like you said.
I know you would, Hank.
Let's get this over with, Marshal. I've waited long enough.
You've waited too long, Quillen.
What?
Hank, I want your friends to wait across the street over there.
We ain't moving, Marshal.
All four of you go over there and wait.
Now, will you do what he says, Jim? Go on now. Jim, he ain't the kind of trick nobody.
I mean it, boys. I got going.
Well, come on, men. But we'll be watching.
Quillen, let me see that warrant.
You've seen it twice? Yeah. Well, ain't you going to look at it?
I should have looked at it the first time.
Huh?
Close. I missed reading the date till Hank mentioned it was 12 years ago.
What's that got to do with it?
12 years is a long time, Quillen.
That warrant's still legal.
But it would have been forgotten by now if you hadn't have paid the sheriff in Prescott to go to the trouble to dig around and find it for you. And paid him something more to make you a deputy.
What do you say?
I hate men like you who go out after other men just for the reward money. You're a professional manhunter, and that's the worst.
So, what are you?
I'm a lawman. I never collected a reward in my life.
Okay, do it your way, but I'm taking this man back.
I got word this morning from a friend of mine in Prescott, Quillen.
So?
He says what I thought about you. You don't often get back with your prisoners.
Huh?
Too much trouble, I guess. Too much expense. You'd shoot Hank here for trying to escape before you reach the Colorado line. But you'd still collect the reward.
You're getting a lot of ideas, Marshal.
I got a couple more. Hank?
Yeah, what, Marshal?
I hear there weren't any witnesses to that murder 12 years ago.
That wasn't no murder. Of course, I had to run anyway.
Yeah, the sheriff was an enemy of yours.
Well, I hear he's dead now.
Mm-hmm. There'll be a circuit judge here next week. I think we'll let him decide all this.
No, you don't, Marshal. You don't cheat
me. I'm sorry, Quillen. You're going to have to earn your money someplace else.
Marshal, I'm warning you.
This is the only copy of the warrant for Ike Abbott there is, isn't it?
You give me that.
I'm going to tear it up.
I'll kill you if you do.
Hank's only worth $500 to you, Quillen. You can find bigger game than him.
I said I'll kill you. You tear up that warrant.
Even you're not that big a fool, Quillen.
Don't do it, Marshal.
Somebody has to.
No!
You killed him, Marshal.
I misjudged him, Hank. He was worse than I thought.
What?
He wouldn't only kill a man for $500... He was willing to die for it himself.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips. Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, on the frontier, men fought for fool's reasons, like a spilt drink, and they fought for good reasons, like fenced water. But next week, a man comes to Dodge who won't fight for any reason and still wins his battle. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, John Daner, and Ken Lynch. Harley Bear is Chester, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Live modern. Smoke L&M. Only with L&M can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos. No other cigarette, plain or filter, gives you the full, exciting flavor you get through the pure white miracle tip. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.